was paid off in yesterday. So I think we had a few points, right? Three of my podcasts. So let's just take them one at a time. Review the facts and analyze them one at a time.
Yeah.
So the first question seems to be the Rosh and Rashi versus everybody else, which is, do I have to place an Erev Tavshilin, or could I straight away rely on the Rav? Okay, according to the Rosh, you have to place an Erev. You have no right to just rely on the Rav. Right? In fact, if you try to just straight up rely on the Rav, it doesn't work. You have no right to do it, it doesn't work. The only idea of the Rav is in case you can't do it, Shasat Chak, whatever it is. You have difficulties, right? But straight away he says you can do it. Just rely on the Rav. Okay? Fine. I'm sorry. My bad. Straight away you can't rely on the Rav. Okay, you can only do it if you're having problems. If you have a problem placing it, then you can't, then you're allowed to rely on the Rav. But otherwise you have no right to. But the others, the Balamar, for instance, the Ron, for instance, hold that a person has a right to rely on the Rav. Okay, you have full rights to just rely on the Rav. Given here, you don't want to do it. You have rights to do it. Right? Okay, so that's, I think, the simplest thing to define. Right? Do you or do you not have a right to just l'chachila rely on the Rav of the town? But this part of the problem here is that question is could you rely on somebody else's, or do you have to place on your own, right? So you'd think that may have something to do with what the whole idea of Eretz Yisraelin is. What's the purpose of Eretz Yisraelin? Is it because you're beginning your cooking? Is it just a reminder? You know, however, whatever your svara is for Eretz Yisraelin, you'd think it would maybe go into that. Is it for Kavod Shabbos? Is it, right? I mean, all different svaras. So, but at the same time, it would seem you don't necessarily want to make your svara in this contingent on that. Right, unless you'd work out the shittas and show how they line up, you know. Right, so it seems the smoothest way, at least for at first, is to be very generic about it, you know, to just define it in the most generic sense without getting particular about what exactly the mechanism is, you know. And then maybe you could try to, you know, think further. You know what I mean? But it would seem you don't want to hang yourself on any particular. Very particular thing, which is limited to one way of looking at it. If you could, I'm not saying you have to, but you know, it's, you want to try to stay very non-committal, right? It's important that in methodology, it's like start out with giving a basic definition without being so. You don't have to solve all the world's problems in 1 second, you know, in one fell swoop. But start out with just a good definition for the thing, you know, and then. To go further, okay, further is further. But sometimes you skip the definition and then you try to go further and you don't really have what to grounding to go further. So you're better off if you just take a good step and then see, you know, maybe you could or maybe you can't go further. Yeah, okay, I'm thinking in the direction Yana's going here. But I just try to tighten it up a little bit. Namely, that what is the matir? What permits you to cook? Okay? Is it the fact that you have an Erev Tavshilin? You are an owner of an Erev Tavshilin. You have an Erev Tavshilin attributable to you. If that's the case, then it doesn't really matter whether you place it or you rely on someone else's. Because the way you rely on someone else's, it becomes yours. So the permit for you to cook is that your Erev, the existence of your Erev, so then it should work no matter what. Right? It should work no matter what. Or do you say, no, that really the permit of the permit of the Shilam, the real takana is that the hanachas Erev itself, the placing of the Erev is what permits you to cook. That you place the Erev. Okay? You being on your cooking, whatever it is, you place the Erev. Right? But the Rabbanon recognize the fact that not everyone's always able to do it. So they built in, like you have a matir, like there's a secondary method, that you have a right to rely on somebody else's insofar as you don't, you can't accomplish the primary method. Well, it's not pshat that the method, so again, according to others, the heter is that you have an Erev. So you have an Erev, it doesn't matter how you do it. So it's you place it or someone else. But according to the Rosh, really the heter is that you place the Erev. It's really the Anachas Erev, that's the real takana. But the Rabbanan had it built in that someone who's an anas and can't do the harachas erev, they created a secondary mechanism by which he could also partake of the hatar of erev. But it's like it's a permit. It's a superadded permit that I wasn't allowed for you to get to participate in erev in absence of your essential hanachas erev. But essentially, the hatar is the placing of the erev. I mean, it's just like a as the Rabbanon set up a secondary mechanism whereby you could be involved in an erev. But if that's the case, you only have a right to do that insofar as the primary method isn't available to you. Right? But whereas Rashi and the others learn, and so they're on the Rabbanon more, they say there's no idea of primary method of placing it. There's no halacha of placing of the erev. The halacha of erev, the permit of erev, is that you have an erev. You have an erev. You have an erev on this yontif. Now, that could be set up in two ways. It doesn't really matter which way. They're the same thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. The Rosh says, Kol Adam Chayv L'Niach Erev Tashem. Okay, that's what he says. Bein Ol Ismach HaGadol Yer Shem Niach HaKol B'nei Yer. Okay, you can't rely on it. Okay, but it's said, V'nach Mil, Misha Yatar V'la Yachal Arev, O Shachach V'la Yerev, V'la Chila Ein Ol Adam Ismach L'Erev Shagadol Yer. Al Tzorach Kol Adam L'Niach B'Beso Erev. But it's an idea is in your bias. So I mean, I think later the Rosh says it's like it's in the house. Your house has every household has to have an erev. Every person has an erev in their house. So that's the halacha. You have an achas erev b'vesa. The how your house places an erev. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean you. It could be your father or whatever. But it's in the house that you place an erev. That's the central permit allows you to cook. And it could be the idea behind it isn't because that's a hacker that reminds you, But essentially, the takana is that the permit is that you placed an erev. You've done the mitzvah of an achas erev, your household, whatever the gavra is. But so the Rav does an achas erev, what does that do with you? You didn't do an achas erev. It's really the mitzvah of an achas erev, which is the permit that you've placed an erev. But the only thing is that the Rabbanis saw that not everybody's able to do that. And so what they did is they set up a secondary method that if Shasat Chak, you have a right to say to not to be involved in the method in the era, but to so to speak piggyback on somebody else's. You know, to be a Kenyan in somebody else's, and that will also work to be a permit. But that's not the primary takana. The takana's erev is mitzvah's erev, is the hanachas erev. Whereas again the others learn that the matir of erev is doesn't do with hanachas erev. Hanacha is merely the method of having bringing about an erev, but the permit is the existence of the erev, the ownership of the erev. That's the permit. So that if that's the case, then it doesn't really matter whether you place it for yourself or you have some, you rely on someone else's. Yeah. If you say it's a secondary mechanism, then the idea of secondary is that you have no right to rely on it unless you don't have access to the primary. It's you need a matir to not be involved in the hanacha, but to rely on somebody else. The permit is that shastach, your tarvet, whatever. But that's the idea of it being secondary. Otherwise, they're just two choices. So the idea is it has to be like a secondary thing. And it could be it's good, because in terms of a hacker, that's the way it works. Like, if you want to say hacker, is that a hacker, the primary, you placing hacker is the primary hacker. Now, look, it's true. If you can't do that, then you could, so to speak, chip in somebody else's. Right? I mean, they're phenomenal like that. Like, it's the primary method is your thing. That's what reminds you of greater. But look, if you can't, so you have a monetary stake in it. But it's different. It's a different type of involvement. So, I mean, but whatever the idea behind it is. But the point is that there's a primary tikkun of Erev and then a permit of relying on a secondary method of Erev. You know, whereas the others don't hold by that type of thing altogether. Asking about the question about the Gemara, previously had a question about whether you need Das. If the Rav places, some places for you, do you need Das that he's doing it, or it's sufficient he just does it? If he just does it for you. So it could be the question is that definitely the Rosh will learn like this. The mitzvah, the real primary matir of Erev is that you place the Erev. But there's a secondary permit. If you can't do it, you have a right to rely on someone else. So what's the mechanism by which you rely on somebody else? Is it pshat that it's like a shlichus? It's like you're placing it via the other guy? Or is it, no, is the secondary mechanism is a totally different idea, which is that you have an Erev. That's that they allowed you simply to have a stake in his Erev, to have a share in his Erev. Well, is this the secondary mechanism? Is it like the same idea, whereas the primary is you place it, the secondary is you place it via a shliach. So then you have to know about it. You can't place it via shlichus if you don't know about it. Or do you say, no, the secondary idea is that even if you can't place it, but you could simply have a kinyan in it, that's also, that's the secondary method, is that you could partake of the Eter in a different, totally different fashion. Not through the Hanacha, but through the existence of the Erev. You know what I mean? But that's a question in the fact, assuming that you're doing the secondary thing of relying on somebody. So what does it take to rely on somebody? But primarily you have no right to do this. In the Ran, you can learn a similar kind of thing. Is that it, basically the Ran holds that all you have to have is to have the Erev. Right? You don't have to place it. You could rely on someone else's lechachila. But what's the idea of relying on somebody else's lechachila? Is it pshat that basically you could place it or have someone else place it for you? That essentially the idea is that there's hanachas Erev. But there's two ways. You could do it yourself, you get someone else. Just the idea is that there's hanachas Erev. So just like a mitzvah, you could do through yourself or through a shliach. So then is that there is not the hanacha. In which case, you can do it through you or you do it through somebody else. But then you have to know about it. Or do you say, no, that there is. It's simply you're owning it. You're having a stake in it. So you have there is having a stake in it. So then what's the difference? That's what I'm saying. Then you don't need das. And that's why it works. It doesn't matter. If you do it, you can just rely on him. Now, let's turn to the Ran. Okay, so the Ran holds that basically the heter is that you have an Erev. And therefore, you could have an Erev through placing it yourself or through us having someone place it for you. Either way it works. Right? Either way it works. And you have perfect rights to do it. To do either way. Right? Okay, fine. But he says that if this blind guy, so he wanted to place it on his own. And since he wanted to place it on his own, he didn't want to rely on him. So now he forgot. So if you had one time, okay, fine. If you had a second time, so now the guy's in a Europe Poshaya, and therefore it no longer works for you. Therefore it will no longer work for you. Right? Because he doesn't want to place it for a potion. He's not thinking of potion. Right? And intrinsically, it seems like it would work for you. Just that he's not placing it. So on such, he doesn't place it for potion. You're not relying on me. So I'm not having you in mind because you're a poshaya. The question is, why is he a poshaya? If anyways, he always has the right to just rely on the Rav, so then why is he a poshaya by the fact that he's trying to place it on his own and he doesn't? Maybe it says like this. Maybe someone can think of an example for me after I say it. But there's an idea of pshia. Let me say it in a positive way. When it comes yantav, you have to have a plan. What are you doing about Erev? What's your plan? See, a guy, pshia is a guy who's like haphazard about the thing. It's true, look, at the end of the day, there's always something to fall back on. But there's a certain attitude, she has a certain attitude of a gavra towards the institution of Erev. Okay, so look, a guy has a right to say, I rely on my Rav. I know that I could go in Yantuk because I rely on my Rav. A guy also has a right to say that I am an independent guy and I'm placing my own Erev. Right? Those are two different guys. But a guy can't just say, oh, whatever, I don't know, I'll figure it out. Last minute, whatever, I'm not sure, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll, you know, up in the air kind of thing. See, because then it's like he's not valuing the institution. It's like the institution is an institution of, let's say it's of reminding him about whatever it is, to teach him an idea about Yaakov Yantif or whatever it is. The thing is that the Poshaya is not that he's risky. You could say Poshaya is that you're risking not having an heir, but he's not risking not having an heir. But the idea is it's a Gavra who has a certain attitude towards the thing. Is that I'm not including you in order to be able to support your haphazard attitude about Erev Toshio. Don't be haphazard about it, I'm not going to let you do that. That's not the attitude you have towards the thing. Just make a plan. What's your plan towards the thing? Are you going with me or are you going with the other guy? So if you're going with
If you're going with yourself and you happen to forget, it's anonymous. Fine, so technically it works. Technically, look, the rav's there, it works for everybody. But once the guy is, it's not just anonymous, but the guy's just being lazy about it. He's basically saying, listen, I want to do it on my own, but I don't really care to do it. I mean, I want to do it on my own. That's my plan, but I'm not really a victim, so I don't really care. So then it's like, to include that guy in the Erev, you know, like you sort of speak against his pshia, that he's saying is that he's not including. He's not including a guy who's being haphazard about the thing, and then he just doesn't really care about it, and then he just wants to benefit from the results of the thing. He's just interested in the results of the thing. He's not a go-race, he doesn't really care about the institution there. And especially since the Erev is to be a reminder or whatever, so then if the guy is basically relating to the thing in a haphazard manner that he simply doesn't care about it, so then his saying is that he's not going to include him. The guy doesn't have das to include a guy who's basically not valuing and not concerned about the institution of the chacham. The institution here is a value, and the person should have a plan. So you have a right to say, look, I go by the Rav, that's fine. It doesn't sound like an automatic thing. But it sounds like the way the Rosh Hashanah is saying it is like that he didn't have das for that. Not have das for that. A guy who's like that, who doesn't want to rely on me, he wants to do it on his own. It's fine, you decide you want to do it on your own, do it on your own, but don't then come and say that now you're going to start being fosheya about your own thing, so then I'm not having you in mind. Like, I'll have in mind people who want to rely on me, and also I'll have in mind people who want to do it on their own, but by accident they mess up. That's fine. But I'm not having in mind the guy who's basically haphazard about the whole institution. It doesn't mean you can't do it. I think Rebbe told us, someone sort of has passed there, has passed down to, and I think Rebbe said that, Ruchayim, he says, you know what, I do it even for Pasha. You know, he didn't want to be machshel, you know, to make them stumble. You know? So, according to that, in that way of learning, it seems like it's not that intrinsically he can't, it's just that he didn't, you know. He didn't do it. That's not the idea of the thing.
No.
It's funny to say that. It's bothersome to me. I mean, if he's saying he doesn't do it, presumably he didn't do it because he thinks that he shouldn't. Like Rashi, for instance, I told you this. Rashi says, it's like, I don't have das with them, Zidin and Poshim, we aren't concerned or worried about the Rechacham. It's like, I mean, das isn't on those guys. I mean, I don't know, it just sounds like, I mean, I guess the Rechaim was learning, it's not that he can't, it's just that they didn't. But to me, it would seem to be is like, don't. What are you doing? You're in a certain sense, you're supporting that type of a behavior. You know, you're supporting that type of behavior. That's wrong. Don't support it. Don't promote that type of behavior. So if you let the guy learn his lesson one time, then he'll be start being more vigilant about it. So it's not worth it. Yeah. And the Baal Mar basically, by the way, just holds that he just doesn't. He doesn't buy this. Well, maybe we have to define that. Maybe we should try to define what's the Balmar is exactly. What's the Balmar, you know, tie it together. And I have to check my notes. I'm not sure what I want to do next here. But I mean, let's try to tie it together, Balmar. Think this over a little bit. Tie it together, Balmar. Because Balmar doesn't buy it, right? Apparently he holds that that's not Poshaya. So we could spell out what's the question, you know? And then move forward. Okay, I'll try to send that an email. Let you guys know what precisely I want to do.